This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. The cost of prescription drugs has long been out of control in the United States, with the federal government being barred from using its buying power to negotiate down sticker prices. Now, thanks to a provision in the Inflation Reduction Act, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services can begin negotiating lower drug prices. But pharmaceutical companies are already fighting back with numerous lawsuits, placements of op-eds, and support from conservative lawmakers. We turn to Merith Basie, Executive Director of Patients for Affordable Drugs Now. Welcome to the program, Merith.
Thank you for having us.
So first, it seems so strange to us if we think about the fact that the government, with its buying power, it's negotiating on behalf of millions of Americans. And generally, when companies bulk buy, they should be able to have discounts for the bulk buying. But was it a 2003 law that prevented the government from being able to do so? Tell us why the status quo has been the status quo.
Well, I think you've started in the right place, which is for the last nearly 20 years, Medicare has been prevented from negotiating drug prices, which is part of the reason why the United States of America pays the highest amount of money for our drugs here in this country. And it also happens to be the only industrialized nation that doesn't negotiate. And this is basically due to a clause from 2003, as you said, that prevented that from happening. And that was inserted as a result of pharmaceutical corporate intervention, shall we say, which meant that for the last 20 years, advocates have been trying to revoke that clause to allow, for the first time, Medicare to negotiate. And this is now as a result of what happened last week, as the provision for one of the key provisions, actually, in the Inflation Reduction Act related to drug pricing reform, which is going to lower drug prices, is the announcement of the first 10 drugs to be negotiated for Medicare. And this is a really, really big deal because it's going to make a difference in the lives of millions of people in this country. And ultimately, in conjunction with some of the other provisions that are already in effect and will be effect going forward, will make a difference to everybody's lives, as it will help to contribute to the downward pressure on drug prices in this country.
So if Medicare is able to negotiate down these drug prices, what effect will that have on patients being able to afford them as well? I mean, is it that the government has been forced to pass down expensive sticker prices to patients, and now if the government pays less, patients do as well?
Exactly. That's exactly right. So expect the reduction to be between 25% and 60% on current prices for these initial 10 drugs. And you may think, well, 10 drugs is not many out of the maybe 4,000 at least that are available. But these are some of the most expensive drugs that people pay for who are on Medicare. And they, on average, that costs about $50 billion US dollars a year. So any savings are going to be significant, not just for Medicare, but as they are passed on throughout the system as well. So we're going to see reductions for people on some diabetes drugs, blood thinners, cancer drugs. And this is the difference between people being able to potentially save, being able to actually say, I don't have to decide between paying my bills and being able to have more food on the table, that kind of thing. This is some life-changing differences, I think, for many folks. And we at Patients for Affordable Drugs Now are the only national patient advocacy organization that exclusively focuses on system-changing policies that lower drug prices, which means that We're talking to many patients every day who are able to share their stories of high drug prices and also share how this law really is going to impact their lives going forward. The challenge is the change won't actually come into effect till 2026, which is a little way down the line, but it has already given a lot of the patients that we speak to hope that this change is coming in conjunction with some of the changes that have already come into effect for people on Medicare, which is things like free vaccines, the insulin copay cap, and then some of the other provisions that are coming in the future as well, like the general copay cap as well.
Right. And let's talk about the insulin copay cap. So starting this January, directly as a result of the provision in the Inflation Reduction Act, people who need to have insulin on a regular basis have had their payments capped at $35 a month. How dramatic?
Yes. So this is significant. And we were talking with one of our patient advocates here, Stephen Hadfield, just last week, and he was sharing how now being able to pay $35 instead of $400 wow. for his insulin is really significant. And it's going to make a difference to him. Who, you know, he's 71 and he'd like to think about retirement, but he's been afraid to do so because of the price of his drugs, which is just unfair and unthinkable, really, that this is allowed to happen in the US. And so this is an exciting step forward. We also saw that there's two diabetes drugs that are on the list for negotiation as well. And it's really important that the list price is also lowered, not just the price of the copay that we're talking about, as this will impact other folks as we go forward. As we've been talking about this, you know, we do have to recognize that these changes are for people only on Medicare at the moment, and we want to fight to make sure that these changes ultimately will be expanded to people more broadly throughout the country, not right. just those on Medicare.
Right. And there's also a movement to expand Medicare to cover everybody. A Medicare for all system would then allow prices to be negotiated nationwide for everybody who was enrolled. That's a different topic, one that we've covered yes. on this program many, many times. Let's talk about how the pharmaceutical companies have responded. There's been something like 8 lawsuits already. What is their justification to challenge this legally?
Yes. So I'd like to start by saying, you know, that there must be substance to these provisions and these new programs in the law, which are already in effect, when you know that big pharma and these massive pharmaceutical corporations are challenging them. So they would rather than lower drug prices, they would rather battle it out in court to say that it is unconstitutional, for example, that there is this will happen ultimately, that the government will be allowed to negotiate. And I'm not a lawyer, but from the folks that we've talked to, we've supported an amicus brief through an allied organization called Public Citizen to support and defend this law. And we will continue to do so, to uphold it, because we know it's going to make a huge difference in the lives of people in this country. And for us, this is just the beginning. And so it's no surprise that Big Pharma has decided that they want to throw millions of dollars at challenging it. But we know that 80% of people in this country also, it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you are on, 80% of people support Medicare negotiations. So we do have the power of people on our side.
Right. I understand it was the most popular provision in the IRA, in the Inflation Reduction Act, popular among a vast majority of Republicans as well. One of the responses that we're seeing from pharmaceutical companies, from their lobbyists, from the politicians that support them, is that if you lower drug prices, you're going to lower corporate profits, which in turn is going to slow down the innovation that leads to cures. It's going to, you know, they'll trot out the fact that the COVID-19 vaccines were developed very quickly, and you know, in the next pandemic, it may not be so if we you know, pay less for drugs. How do you respond to this?
This is a pharma talking point, but the data suggests that over the course of the next 15 years, we are at best to lose out on maybe one or two drugs of the more than 1,500 that might come to market. Currently, big pharma tends to make drugs of what we call me too drugs, which basically means they are a version of something that already exists. They may not be something new or innovative. So we actually believe that this law is going to spur more innovation as we go forward, because pharma won't just be trying to profit off a version of an existing medication. So not to be believed, in our opinion.
And if prices for drugs are so high that people can't afford them, they're out of reach of people anyway.
Exactly. So about one in three people in this country cannot afford their medication. And this disproportionately impacts women. It disproportionately impacts people of color. So exactly to your point, if people can't afford their drugs anyway, you know, what is the concern about drugs that haven't already been invented yet? And we've seen that, for example, with insulin is a classic example that has been on the market, or a version of it, for over 100 years now. And we know that in this country, it is still priced extremely high, which is why that copay cap was so necessary, and the negotiation is so necessary as well.
Tell me about the broader goal of your organization, Patients for Affordable Drugs Now, in terms of looking even beyond Medicare's ability to negotiate down drug prices. Overall, pharmaceutical prices, drug prices are too high. So what is the plan or the strategy that your organization takes to try to bring these prices under control? I mean, you know, you have the sort of pro-corporate line, which is, well, we have to have profits. But then we're talking about not luxuries, but necessities.
Absolutely. So it's really important to state here that we don't take any money from any organization or company that benefits or profits from the sale or distribution of drugs. And that allows us to be independent. It allows us to also to be bipartisan. And it allows us to speak freely on the issue of lowering drug prices, which not all patient advocacy groups are able to do so, because a lot of them receive funding from pharmaceutical corporations. So what we do is we organize across all diseases, all conditions. It's primarily patients who are living with a disease, and also allies who care about this issue. They could be caregivers or just people who care about the fact that this is an injustice. And we amplify their voices in the media, in Capitol Hill in particular, so that people can really understand that these figures that we hear, one in three people can't afford their drugs, are everyday people, and that they are real people. They're not just statistics. We have played a key role as a result in trying to make sure that we can combat the powerful many millions that the pharma lobby groups have on Capitol Hill in particular. And we obviously, this is one key piece of our work, but we also are trying to look behind the curtain on pharmacy benefit managers. They are also a player in this space as well, who do profit from this current system. And pharma likes to point the finger at PBMs, pharmacy benefit managers, but we believe that, we know that both play a role and both profit from this system as it is. And so we're pushing also right now for a number of bipartisan bills that will help to increase accountability, transparency, and competition to ensure that new drugs can come to market, which is one of the primary ways that help to lower drug prices when you have competition and it's not rigged in the ways that pharma likes to allow it to control the way that the free market works in a not so free way So those are some of the things that we're focusing on. And also I would add to launch prices is something that we're trying to tackle as well, because new drugs are coming to market, cell and gene therapies that have extremely high prices. They're often curative, very exciting innovations that will be very beneficial for folks. For example, next year we expect 2 drugs for sickle cell disease to potentially hit the market. And we know that of the 100,000 people in this country who could benefit, many of those people are on Medicaid. And also knowing that the price that is estimated could be between $400,000 and $3 million. Who and which system can afford to pay for this? And so this is why we do have to look at the system as a whole and making sure that there are these opportunities to negotiate like other high income countries around the world, so that people who need these medicines can access them. As to your point earlier, if people can't afford them, you know, they're not going to cure disease.
Right. And we should say that so much of the science that these pharmaceutical companies benefit from has been funded by taxpayers. You know, the government funds a lot of research and innovation that forms the basis of the research that then pharmaceutical companies build on. So it serves
absolutely
to reason that, you know, taxpayers should get a break and should be able to benefit from it. Give out a website, Merith, for your organization.
Yes, Patients for Affordable Drugs Now, also Patients for Affordable Drugs, both.org, and you can find us on all social media as well.
Thank you so much and good luck to you.
Thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
My guest has been Merith Basie, Executive Director of Patients for Affordable Drugs Now. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. You can access this and other interviews on our website, risingupwithsonali.com, by becoming a subscriber. Find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify, and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.